in the next few weeks, they're going to have a lot of them. They're stinky, they're smelly, they're kind of blind. I know some of you love lambs, but when I see them, I'm like, oh, there's thousands of them here where we live. But notice it's not the lamb. What does it say? Say it with me. The Lamb of God. I'm going to say a different way to translate this. How about this? Behold, the Passover Lamb of God is what John's saying. In John's Gospel, the word Passover is mentioned 11 times, advanced Bible study nugget. What John is saying is that it's really important to remember the Passover and go back to that time in which God's people were freed. That's what the festival's all about. And the way that they were freed was with the Passover lamb. Exodus 12 says there was one lamb, perfect, spotless, without blemish, yes, and male, believe it or not. Yes, that's the lamb it describes. And the lamb's blood should be posted on the doorposts. And you see, by doing that, God's people were free from a tyrant, Pharaoh, free from oppression and hard work and labor. And friends, today we need a sense of freedom so that we can be relaxed and just not worry and not be anxious, riddled. It's yours. It's yours. Jesus died for you. He is the Passover lamb. Your sins are forgiven. You're free. But how does Jesus do that? That's the last phrase. Behold the Lamb of God. How does it go? Who takes away the sin of the world. The word for take away is a participle, not a verb. It's a participle in the Greek, the original. It's a present participle. In other words, it still is happening. The taking away is ongoing. It's today, it'll be next week, it'll be in 2 months, it'll be in 3 months, it'll be in 5 years. Jesus is continuously doing that. And you notice, not even the Passover lamb could do that in the Old Testament. The Passover lamb was just to forgive sins in the moment or for the year in the past. Not Jesus. He's continuously forgiving, actively working to take away your sin. And you might be sitting here this morning saying, what difference does it make to take away sin? What a big deal that is. You know, people more and more are looking into tattoo removal. It's on the rise. So also is tattoo placement on bodies. And I'm not. What I'm saying here today is not to endorse tattoos, it's just to lead to a greater point. So don't think Pastor Lucky's endorsing tattoos or saying you shouldn't tattoo. I'm not saying that. The rise of tattoo removal is noted on Google searches, and it's expensive. To remove a tattoo costs $200 per session. Sometimes it takes over 12 sessions, spanned out over 2 years. That takes a lot of effort, a lot of work to get a tattoo removed. Now that jumps to sin removal. Sin removal. Sin removal is much deeper and hurts us inside. And maybe no one else knows a sin that's deep within you. Sin can be something maybe that you've done, but we also teach sin is also something done by others to you. Maybe you were born in an abusive situation. Maybe you are in a relationship that is really causing you harm. Your lamb is at work, removing sin, taking it away. No better message in the world than that. John the Baptist is just reflecting the message. That's it. He didn't come up with it. He didn't come up with 12 clever points. He's just a mirror reflecting the message. And so also, every person in our church can be a mirror. Today we're recognizing the Boy Scouts in our church, and I just want to transition to talk about them for a second. And you know, members of Peace, how special the Boy Scouts have been for us this last year. You see, in a way, they put into practice what we're talking about today of simply being a mirror pointing to God's message for other people. On Tuesday here at the church, Tom, correct me if I get any of this wrong, this Tuesday at 6:30 right here in the sanctuary, there's going to be an Eagle Scout ceremony where two of the Boy Scouts are going to receive their Eagle Scout awards. Justin, are you here? Justin's not here. The other one is Mike. Mike, right here. Raise your hand, Mike. Right here. Correct me if I tell a story wrong, Mike. And David, Dad, you're smiling over there. Mike oftentimes walks up Applegate Street. Often, from school to home. Is that right? Mike needed to do an Eagle Scout project, and he walked by our church. I didn't notice it. He did. He noticed that our sign wasn't really projecting our church that much. If you look at the sign right here on the mound, the letters were rusted and kind of had an orange glaze to them sort of thing. And with the background being brown, it was hard to tell what this is. Is this a church? What is this? And so Mike came up with the idea for his Eagle Scout project to bless the church with a wonderful bench that's brand new. He also refurbished Art LeBond's bench that he made for the church. So he did those two things. And then he came up with a third project to enhance our sign out in the front of the church. I wasn't here. I think it was a Saturday, and the boys gathered, and there were some leaders as well here that Sunday. I heard a story that I want to share here, and you'll have to correct me if I got it wrong. But the boys were out there, and to get the letters off so that they could be painted white as you see them, they had to use their might and their strength to pull those letters off the board. So there were the boys pulling the letters off the board, and as they were doing that, people from the community stopped by, I heard, and said, "Why are you guys vandalizing the church?" I didn't verify that. Is that true? Did you get? Yeah, all right. Oh, you got glared. Because what are boys doing at a church? And what are they doing helping? No one does. Boy Scouts, what you're doing is you're being a mirror. It wasn't about you. You were working to shine a light on a powerful message out into the community where God's love, His peace, and what He wants, that what is noble and true and praiseworthy, you are pointing that out. And if that's all you do in your life, you're a mirror reflecting what is right and true and valuable in this world, you have done a valuable thing and served a good life. So keep that up. Mike, thank you for your work. By the way, Peace members, you are invited to come Tuesday night to celebrate Mike's work. 6:30 here in the sanctuary. You know, job descriptions, as we think about them and as I close out, job descriptions are oftentimes overwhelming. And we might think that the job description of a Christian is overwhelming. There's so much to do, so much to accomplish, so little time. How could we do everything that Jesus wants us to do? I'm going to suggest that we can minimize the job description of what it means to follow God into one phrase: be a mirror, reflect God's glory. That's it. Paul would agree. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, "We, with unveiled faces, like mirrors, reflect the brightness of the Lord." Be mirrors. Isn't that relaxing? It means you don't have to do anything extraordinary. You don't have to go out of your way. You just simply take the message that you've received and share it with others, as John the Baptist once did. Amen.